The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Take your Bible, turn to Joshua chapter 1, if you would, while you're turning. All of us have opportunities that come our way. The question is, are these divine opportunities? Are these ones that maybe we've created? Are they ones that man has provided for us? Or possibly, are they ones that the evil one sometimes lays right in front of us that looks so much like the real thing that sometimes we can get confused and maybe we make a wrong choice? And if you've got kids or grandkids, that is something you always desire for them, is when you see an opportunity come in front of one of your children or grandchildren, you hope they make a wise decision to do the right thing, assuming these are opportunities that God has laid before them. Well, this book is full of examples of men and women who have had divinely opportunities to come their way. Some took advantage of them, and some blew them. And unfortunately, sometimes we know more about those men and women in the Bible who blew God-given opportunities than the ones that found God's plan for their life. So what I want us to do this morning is look at some of these characteristics from the book of Joshua that are, in fact, divinely given opportunities that we know come our way. And for those of you that have lived long enough, you can look back over your life and say, I know without a doubt, back in 1973, I had that divinely offered opportunity that came my way. Or in 1978, I had one, and boy, would I have ever wished I could do that again, because I didn't make a very good decision back then, and God hasn't been as good to me, probably because I didn't do what I should have done back then. And we can sit there and armchair quarterback that all day long, and it's not going to change history. The future is what's all in front of us. And so you've got some opportunities. I know if God's still got breath in your lungs, He's given you some opportunities in the future that will come your way. The question is, are these really of God? Do these opportunities that maybe He's laid in front of me, ones that He wants me to take advantage of, or do I need to let that go by? Maybe that's a counterfeit. Maybe that's something that looks like the real thing, but maybe I just need to let it go. You recall the story about Moses. He has now just passed away. The mantle has fallen upon Joshua to lead the nation of Israel, and they are faced with now crossing the Jordan. And to go into the promised land, you know that Moses was not going to be allowed to do that. He was not going to lead the Hebrew people. It was going to be Joshua who would have that opportunity to do that. So look with me in Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. We'll read down several verses, and then we'll pause and see what the Lord has for us. Now, it came about that after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that he spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross the Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I'm giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Verse 3, every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I've given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses, from the wilderness in this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it from the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, and you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. And then look at verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now watch this in verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you are to cross this Jordan and go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it. And then he gives them some instructions in 12, 13, 14, and 15. Now watch their response in verse 16 of chapter 1. And they answered Joshua saying, all that we have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you, and he as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey the words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. You see that phrase over and over. Be strong and courageous. Now, when you and I are faced with opportunities, the question is this of God or not? How do I respond if it is? And most of the time, I have found that the most miserable people I've ever met were people who knew they had an opportunity of God divinely laid in front of them. They went the other way, and they can look back and almost tell you to the day where they knew they got out of the will of God. They may be followers of Christ, but just not pleasingly happy people because they knew they missed what God had for them. Now, it may have been for any number of reasons. It may be that I didn't do what God wanted me to do because of unbelief, maybe because of a little fear, maybe because of uncertainty, maybe a dozen other reasons of why I chose, when God gave me an opportunity to make a wise decision and I chose not to do it, that God laid in front of me. The results may be the same, but the reasons may be a couple of dozen. If you're familiar with the background of this passage, it was 40 years before that all of that generation had died off in the wilderness from war and sickness and disease. And the reason they had died off is because that generation stood at the edge of the Jordan looking at the promised land and said, no, I don't think we want to do that. I don't think we want to do that. And they refused to obey God, and that opportunity went by them. It passed their way one time and one time only. Now, I would not be foolish enough to stand here and tell you that every wonderful opportunity God offers you, he'll only offer it one time and that's all, because we just don't know. We're blessed when God gives us a second or third chance of that opportunity. And maybe we said no the first time, and look here, here it is again a second time. Now I learned my lesson and I'm ready to go, because we just don't know. But I will tell you this, there are some things I know I can look back in my life that God laid an opportunity in front of me one time, and I, for whatever reason, looked the other way and chose not to do that, and I've never seen it again. And you could probably do that in your life too. One of the most obvious ways we know that's what they did is because the nation of Israel changed their mind the next day. Once they slept on that decision, got up the next day, they said, okay, We think we're ready to go now. And God said, no, that was yesterday. This is a new day. And if one of those opportunities comes your way, and maybe you're living in the flesh and you're not being obedient to the Lord, or you're not where you need to be in your walk with Christ, and one of those divinely opportunities comes your way and you blink and you let it go by, it may or may not come back again. We should not be surprised when our kids or our grandkids make bad decisions because they may not be walking with the Lord. Don't be shocked. You and I need to learn to live to be sensitive to the opportunities of the Lord. And one of the greatest tools we could leave our kids is to be discerning of the things of the Lord. When they come along, do they make wise decisions or not? So in light of this background, let me leave you this morning with some things to remember about God's opportunities that I think will be true mile markers. If you jot these down, you tell your kids, your grandkids, as they have opportunities, as they come up through life, that if they see some things that God lays before them, this will help them in their decision making. Number one, when God offers you an opportunity, it is always part. Notice, when God offers you the opportunity, it's always part of his bigger plan for your life. God doesn't offer these things on an island. It's a part of a chain. Just kind of envision a train, and you've got all these cars on the track, one behind the other, behind the other, behind the other. And one of those opportunities may be one of those train cars. They don't operate separate from each other. They're all connected. Because when God has a perfect will for your plan, for your life and your, and going forward, you know that He's going to offer you opportunities from time to time. Maybe about your vocation, maybe about marriage, maybe about a job change, maybe about children. Do I need to move in my latter years? Do I need to move closer to my kids? Is that wise for me to do right now? What about a major mile marker in my life? That's why there are no accidents in the life of a believer. For example, what was the promised land all about? How did that fit into God's plan for the whole human race? Obviously, we know it did. That little strip of land on the east end of the Mediterranean Sea, which is the crossroads of the continents of Europe and Asia and Africa, that one little spot that God has for centuries focused the world's attention on. What was God saying to those Hebrews? You not only are to go in and possess this land, it not only fits into my plan for you, but it fits into my bigger plan for all of mankind. And so when that opportunity comes our way, the first thing we need to ask is, does this fit into God's bigger plan for my life and my future? Number two, God's opportunities are perfectly timed. In spite of what we may think, we would have wanted to be back in this auditorium sooner than a few weeks ago, wouldn't we? But for some reason, it wasn't in God's timing to get us back in here earlier than when we did. Now, we don't know probably right now the full answer to that. We may know sometime later. Scripture tells us that Moses, God's servant, had passed away. God had called him home. And those who would not believe and take him at his word, that is, they would not be able to take that land, they all died off in the wilderness. They would never be able to receive the blessings that God had planned for them because they looked at that promised land and said, no. There's two big issues we're going to have to tackle, and I just don't know if we need to do that right now. And let's just let that go by. And now that generation was gone, and the next generation was the one under Joshua's leadership that would be able to do that. Now watch how God operates. Joshua, remember, was one of the two spies decades earlier that had gone over and spied out the land, and Joshua never forgot what he saw. He and Caleb got a chance to do that. He knew, God, there's something special about that place. There's something special about that piece of land. He had walked side by side with Moses, and in God's perfect timing, when he knew, God knew Joshua was ready and the people were ready and the last of the unbelievers were holding back, they were all gone. God said to Joshua, after all these years now, decades, 40 years, he said, you got 3 days to get everybody together. And you're going to get ready to march. 3 days. 3 days. Now don't miss this. I have personally struggled with this. God is never in a hurry. Doesn't that just drive you crazy? That you want God to get going with this thing, but God's never in a hurry. And also God never offers you an opportunity ahead of time. Problem is, I don't know what that time is for most of those. But I have to trust that he does. And realize that when God offers you an opportunity, the omniscience of God has arranged that. It's hesitation on my part, fear on my part, unbelief on my part that causes me to miss some of God's opportunities and some of those great blessings that I could have had. If God has laid an opportunity in front of me and he says, you move on this, and I don't see my way clear, that's not the issue. Even though to me it's the issue, the omniscience of God is all sufficient to see me through it. I know it's the timing, but sometimes the timing holds me back. It's that fear of that concern, that uncertainty. But we've got to realize the omniscience of God has arranged this. Also, the flip side of that can be true. When an opportunity comes our way, we may jump ahead of God and take just the opposite approach. Rather than waiting for God to map all this out for us, we just say, oh, hey, look at that. Boom, and off we go. And we've watched our kids and grandkids do that too. Get ahead of our leadership, our wisdom about certain things. And, you know, it's amazing how if you've got multiple kids, how the same two parents can come up with a whole bunch of different kinds of kids. And what you used to tell one child, you got to treat them a whole lot different for number two or number three. And if they all were clones of each other, it'd be easy, because by about the third or fourth time, you'd have this thing down really, really good, because what worked for the first one will work for all the rest of them. But they've all got different buttons you got to push to kind of get them to cooperate. And sometimes we run ahead of our leadership of the Lord. How many young men or young women have thought, you know, I don't know, he's pretty good, I better go ahead and marry him, this may be the last one I get, and some young lady jump ahead and marry the wrong guy? And probably we could name people that have done that. And sometimes mamas and grandmas can be, well, you know, sweetheart, you better go ahead and nail him down, this may be as good as this gonna get, and be dead wrong of what the Lord wants in their life. This is the last chance. That list is probably longer than we'd like to acknowledge, of bad decisions. So God offers you an opportunity as part of his bigger plan. God's opportunities are perfectly timed. Number three, God always prepares us. God always prepares us. God knows you better than you know yourself, and he knows how to prepare you. Now put a little asterisk by this. That is, as long as you're walking in the Spirit. In other words, your heart's bent toward him. You're walking in the Spirit, because mom or dad, if your teenage daughter or teenage son is not bent toward God, do not be surprised if they don't make good decisions. Our heart needs to be bent toward him on a daily basis in the small things. You do that with your own kids. You see them not being obedient, or grandkids not being obedient. You don't bless them and reward them with something else, because they've not handled the little things well. Why would you give them something else? That's why you don't give the keys to the car to a six-year-old. They're not ready for it. You know they're not ready for it. Just give them about 10 years when they're 16. They'll be asking for them anyway. So just hold on a little longer. God's opportunities are perfectly timed, and he always prepares us. Now, I have opportunity in the nature of what I do. I talk to a lot of young preachers. A lot of young men just starting out in ministry. And one of the things I always do with them is ask them a series of questions. Number one is obviously, well, what are you doing right now? I'm just kind of sitting. I'm just waiting on God to give me my big break. And I just tell them, I said, I hope you got a good seat, because you're liable to be there a while. Why would God bless you and reward you when you're not doing anything right now? But if they say, you know, I'm just looking for every opportunity, Brother Lane, I'm just preaching every chance I get. I don't care if it's a little church running three or four people out in the middle of nowhere. I'm going to go out there and preach my heart out like it's 3,000 or 4,000. And I said, now that's what you need to be doing. Just be faithful. If God gives you an opportunity to go somewhere, to do something, to lead music somewhere, to work with youth somewhere, take advantage of it. Teach a Sunday school class. Do something. Serve. And God will bless that. It's kind of hard to steer a parked car, isn't it? You can turn yourself upside down trying to turn that steering wheel while it's parked. But you start going down the road 55, 60 miles an hour, you can take one finger on the steering wheel and just kind of nudge it to where it needs to go. In our life with the Lord's the same way. If we're sitting parked and not doing anything for the Lord, just like, Lord, I'm just waiting on you, just waiting on you, we might be there a while. Because it's kind of hard for the Lord to steer us if we're not doing anything. But if we're serving and working in some place, maybe we don't see any fruit produced over there, God can kind of nudge us just a little bit, get us over here and go, oh, okay, I see where I'm supposed to be working now. God had given these people a courageous leader. God had provided for these people by giving them this courageous leader in Joshua. He was preparing them by giving them very clear instruction in verse 11. Did you catch that? Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you are to cross the Jordan. Even failure many times is part of preparation. Moses obviously did not always do the right things. Sometimes your mistakes will be part of your preparation. The learning process is part of the preparation. What's that old saying? If you don't learn from your mistakes, you're destined to repeat them. Every single principle you lay down and apply to your life, God is preparing you for a future opportunity of greater service and greater ministry to him. Now, sometimes in this lovely culture we live in, we won't take shortcuts. We are an impatient people today. We want everything automatic, instant. How did we survive without microwaves back years ago? Well, you put something on the stove and you turned the burner on and you waited for it to warm up. That's what you did. But we don't have that patience today. We want to pop something in and then we stare at the microwave while it's working. Like that's going to speed things up. You spend your time getting ready and God will decide when you're ready. I see that impatience in young ministers today. They want what their generation before them wants now, and they haven't paid any price, per se, as the saying goes, of 15, 20, 25 years of ministry, and they want it all now. Many times those shortcuts are a result of maybe a little laziness at times. I'm not willing to work and put in the time that it needs. We must be prepared daily, spending time with the Father, getting ready for what He has for us. Fourth principle, God always paves the way for us in those opportunities. God will never say, well, just jump in, do the best you can, hope it all works out. Let me give you a couple of examples of how God paves the way. Still in Joshua, look in chapter 3 for just a moment. Joshua chapter 3, verse 15. And when those who carried the ark came into the Jordan, and the feet of the priest carrying the ark were dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks all the days of harvest, verse 16, that the waters which were flowing down from above stood and rose up in one heap a great distance away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, and those which were flowing down toward the sea of Arabath, the salt sea, were completely cut off. So the people crossed opposite Jericho, verse 17. And the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan while all Israel crossed on dry ground until all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan. God had already prepared to part the salt sea just like He had parted the Red Sea. Still in Joshua, look at chapter 5. Here's another one. Verse 1. Now it came about that when all the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan to the west and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard how the Lord had dried up the waters back in chapter 3 of the Jordan crossed before the sons of Israel which they had crossed, that their hearts melted and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the sons of Israel. God does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. That's an overly used cliche, but it is true. God will not do for you what He's already commanded and called us to do, but He will do for us what we cannot do. Two things they needed the most, they could not fix. They needed to cross the Jordan. God took care of that. Second, they knew they were inferior militarily, and God took the fight out of the heart of the enemy because they had heard through the grapevine, did you hear what God did about parting that water and let them go, we better not mess with these folks. He always paves the way. When God opens the door for us, rest assured that it is Him that did it. Number 5. He always provides the means as well. He's not going to offer you an opportunity and say, well, hey, I hope it all works out. Just do the best you can. You know, that's never in the Bible, just do your best. Yet we tell our kids that all the time. Just do the best you can. No, God says, do what I've paved a way for you to do. I'm going to give you a roadmap of how to do this. Don't just do the best you can. Now, I know what we mean when we say that. We want to obviously give God our best. But it's not just up to us. God also orchestrates this. Remember now, first of all, God gave Israel that courageous leader, bold, faithful, experienced leader. And He equipped their armies and gave them trained men. And He reminded them of past victories that boosted their faith. You know what'll help you as much as anything is when you look back and you say, you know what, I've already done that once. I remember when God came through for me. I remember when our family had this little issue and God came through for our family. He reminded them of what God had already done for them. Now they're prepared. That's the means. Now He says, let's take the city of Jericho. God says, you're to march around the city. We learned this in Vacation Bible School. God said, march around the city every day for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, march around it 7 times. And after that, the seventh time on the seventh day, God promised exactly what he would do. He unleashed his omnipotent power, and the walls of Jericho came straight down. Notice it, they did not fall outward onto the Hebrew children. They did not fall inward onto the people there. They came straight down. Thousands of years before man figured out how to properly put explosives in buildings and bring a building right straight down in a pile of rubble, God had done that thousands of years. So God was the original demolition expert. Man, just by scientific evidence, figured that out thousands of years later. God always assumes the responsibility of providing the means necessary to be obedient. I wonder what challenge some of us might be facing today, maybe in your personal life, maybe in your family's life, maybe in your business life, but you're not sure God's orchestrating this just yet. God says, I assume the responsibility of unleashing the facets of this to take place so that he can be glorified and you can be effective in what he's called you to do. Maybe we just need to put it in God's hands, leave it there, leave the results to him. Trust that he's going to have his perfect will. Number six, we do have a personal responsibility. Now, we talked about God arranging all this, God doing all this, but God will never say, just sit back and watch me do everything. It'd be nice if that's what God would do. We'd just sit back and back seat and go along for the ride, but God never does that. He works through us, doesn't he? The Christian life is not passive. Trust, the word trust, is not a passive word. It's an active word. It's aggressively trusting God. I'll never tell anybody, just sit around and trust God. We're back to the analogy of, well, what are you doing for the Lord now? Where are you serving? Where's your giftedness? What are you doing in the church? People who are trust are on the move. They're people who are making progress. Trusters are people who are achieving. Trusters are those folks who are making progress in the body of Christ. Just sitting around waiting on God to do something or waiting on a pastor to do something, God's not going to bless that. For the children of Israel, their responsibility was to march around the city for 7 days. That was their responsibility. And oddly enough, God said, take the choir. Leave the army at the house. And I'm sure that raised a few eyebrows. Now, wait a minute here. We got to take some ammo with us. We're going to take the choir? God said, yeah, and especially be sure to bring the trumpet folks with you, because I'm going to use those guys. God does not operate apart from us. He operates through us. Seventh and finally, there is a penalty. There is a penalty when we disobey God. The children of Israel knew very well what that penalty was. It's actually in chapter 5, verse 6. For the sons of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness until all the nation, that is the men of war who came out of Egypt, perished because they did not listen to the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord had sworn that he would not let them see the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Oh, if we'd only listened to Moses back then. Oh, if we'd only done this. Let me give you a new word today. Don't bother to look it up. You're not going to find it in the dictionary. It's spelled I-F-I-D-A. You pronounce it if Ida. Oh, if I'd only done so and so. If I'd only back then, if I'd only. We could do that probably for multiple things in our life. A lot of folks can look back and see all kinds of mistakes they made, and maybe not even the mistakes, just missed opportunities. If I'd only listened to my mama back when she told me such and such. If I'd only listened to my boss when he told me that's what's going to happen if I went down there. If you don't care about obeying for yourself, then dad, mom, do it for your kids. Do it for your kids. Every boy ought to see a courageous dad who's willing to be obedient to God, even when he may not see his way clear. Watching their dad or their mom take advantage of a God-given opportunity and then watch how God blessed them, he will not ever forget that. Many of us can look back and look at times of where maybe a person, man or woman that we looked up to, maybe a teacher, maybe a parent, maybe a grandparent, that we can remember when they acted in some way and handled something in a fashion that we dialed that back in our minds and we hung on to that. And God's used that. He's pulled that remembrance back to our forethoughts again. Some folk have got to a place in their life where, you know, I'm fine, Brother Lane. Don't worry about me. I got this all under control. And when one of these days I'm gonna get things straight. I'm gonna get back in church and I'm gonna get right with God. And God's maybe given them opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to come to know the person that this book says is the only way that we can get to the Father. And one of these days when I'm too old to do much else in life and I'm gonna get straight, I'm gonna get it all together, and God's given them opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, and they've just rejected and rejected and rejected. You know, this book says at some point in time, God says, just leave them alone. Leave them alone. Don't worry about them. And he gives them a world which they have wanted, and that is a world without him. And I've talked to people that have said, you know, Brother Lane, one of these days I'm going to call you and I'm going to want you to come talk to me. And I walk away from that meeting and I'm thinking, I hope when they get to that point, because most of us know too many people that have gotten into those later years, you may not have the wherewithal to even know what you want to ask for or not ask for. How do you have any guarantee you're going to be in your right mind in those latter days? And you're holding out, thinking, okay, one of these days when I'm just right at the edge, I'm going to get myself right with God. Or maybe somebody's been visiting a church and visiting a church and visiting a church. One of these days, I never will forget one time I was out knocking on doors for the church I was on staff at, and came this guy and said, when we get settled in, we're going to come visit the church. I said, how long y'all been here? 20 years. Still trying to get settled in. But we use all those kind of excuses for when we're going to get right with God and get things straight. And maybe we've had some opportunities that we've kind of let go and we can look back. And my friend, we all can probably do that and say, well, I wished I hadn't have done that back in such and such year. Or maybe we could say, last month I had an opportunity to do something and I let that go because I just did not see my way clear. I didn't have the confidence. And maybe I should have just trusted in the Lord that he was going to work that out. And it was a divine opportunity that I just let go by. My friend, you can sit there and dwell on that and contemplate that and reanalyze that until you're blue in the face. And it's not going to change it. Just say, Father, I think I missed that back then. If you'll be gracious enough to give me one more chance, to give me another opportunity, I'll be obedient this time. I want to make sure that when you offer that to me this time, that I am faithfully obedient, because whether we realize it or not, people are watching you. Might be your family, might be coworkers, might be your friends, but somebody someplace in your sphere of influence, who you don't even know how broad that is watching you to see how you respond when certain things come into your life. And it's a wise man or woman that says, Father, regardless of what the outcome may be, I'm going to trust you no matter what, and I'm going to act on this. And guard my heart, Father, that I don't act prematurely and get ahead of the Lord, but let that opportunity that you give me be perfectly timed, that I'll be faithful to act accordingly. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us divinely offered opportunities. Forgive us where we have gotten ahead of you. We have been impatient. And we know that we live in an impatient world today. We live in an automatic, instant society that nobody wants to wait for anything. Father, as people of God, as children of God, Father, give us the patience that we need to wait for you to orchestrate what you want in our life. Father, forgive us where we have been negligent to move forward when you clearly have laid something out before us, maybe for our family, maybe for our vocation, maybe for something at school, maybe a relocation. And Father, allow us the opportunity to be faithful in all of those decisions. Forgive us where we've not been faithful. Give us a second, third, fourth chance. Father, thank you for your hand upon this church, for the fellowship here, for the opportunities that you have obviously given this church over the decades. Father, going forward, the new ones that you give Mooringsport Baptist Church, may they be faithful. May they be faithful to not be slothful or lazy in any of those decisions, but may they be bold and follow you, knowing that you have orchestrated these, and we'll give you the praise for that. In Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Would you stand with me as Max comes to lead us? You be obedient. I'll be here at the front if you need somebody to pray with. You just listen to the Lord. Maybe you need to do a little inventory. You need to talk to the Lord about something that you can look back on and see how he has clearly laid something in front of your life, and you maybe didn't act like you should have about that. And you need to talk to the Lord. You just do business with the Lord as we sing.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.